don't know what was the prize. Do you remember the prize line? And there's one verse that I think we can always look for to see if it's a Bible that we want. In Genesis 11:3, said they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. The word thoroughly. The Bible that they were selling had the word thoroughly. So I decided, okay, I think this is the verse. This is the test verse. Genesis 11:3. When you look at your Bible, if it says thoroughly, that's the one you want. If it's thoroughly, somebody changed that word, and there was no note. There's never a note about that. They just change it. Okay, now before we continue with this Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which next week, hopefully, we're going to unpack all this, and I'll tell you what I think as soon as I decide what I think. And then Keith is going to be up here. But before we do that, there was this one little challenge that Tracy had thrown out, and I want to kind of look at that today. We're going to look at five passages, the word sometime or sometimes with an S. First, Colossians 1:21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." 1 Peter 3:20. "Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, which some time." Now, for some times, the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians 2:13. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Ephesians 5:8. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And Titus 3:3. Titus 3:3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Now, I'm going to tell you what I think. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is correct, and I'm not 100% there, okay? Did everybody hear me say that? I'm not 100% there. Did you catch that back there? I'm not 100% convinced. But we're talking about sometime. And sometimes, which incidentally has nothing to do with that. But here's what I think about these words. Sometime, I'm going to illustrate it with a circle. Sometime, I think, is general. Any point on that circle would be sometime. If I say sometimes, it might be a given point. So we're going from general to specific, and that's all I have to say about that. And we can hear the rebuttal.
And you're not 100% sure about that.
I'm not 100% sure, no. We'll hear the rebuttal later. we were talking about Paul's use of the term Holy Ghost, and King James is the only Bible that uses that term Holy Ghost. When you look at any other Bible, even New King James, they change it to Holy Spirit. And so I've been trying to decide, all right, why does the King James say Holy Ghost? Everybody else, Holy Spirit. Because they'll say, well, it's all the same word. King James just translated it ghost. And I understand what they're saying. Here's just as an illustration. In the book of Luke, chapter 24, Luke 24, verse 36. Luke 24, 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Now, when I go to the trusty NIV, and listen, I want to tell you something about this. I didn't buy this. This was given to me in a college class I was taking, and I thought, this is great. I don't have to buy an NIV. I didn't want to anyway. Now, when I look at this passage in Luke, it says, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. So there they use the word ghost. King James used the word spirit. And at the time King James was translated, the word ghost meant something different than what it would mean to people that translated this. The first occurrence of the word ghost is back in Genesis 25. Genesis 25, verse 8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age. Abraham gave up the ghost. And there are 11 references in the Old Testament, and we looked at all these, that use the word ghost. And it has to do with just someone dying. And so the whole idea of ghost to the King James translators was something that had been alive at some point. That's why they said Abraham gave up the ghost. But there's something else. First of all, I want to finish these passages where Paul uses that term. We looked at some of them. We left off with this one in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians 1, 5 and 6. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That's similar to verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We're going to keep it by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. And then Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we've looked at the passages where Paul uses the term Holy Ghost. And when we hopefully settle all this next Sunday, I think you're going to see that that term Holy Ghost, he's referring to a person, the person of the Godhead. Because we looked at the verses, we're going to look at them again, where you find Spirit and Holy Ghost together. And so we need to look at them and see if we can, tell the difference. Now, the other thing I've noticed is that in the original language, and I say that as though I'm a scholar and I'm not, but in the original language, there are no capital letters. But often, you'll find some words have a capital letter at the beginning and some don't. And so I thought, okay, they're doing this on purpose too. See, it all comes down to this. The King James translators had reasons for doing what they did. If there were two words and they both kind of mean the same thing, why did they choose the one word, and both words are there through the King James, why did they choose one over the other? And I think then it's upon us, on our shoulders, to figure out why they did that, why they chose that word. Now, for instance, here's three passages I want you to get. Okay, the first one is Psalm 51, verse 11. Psalm 51, 11. Isaiah 63:10, Isaiah 63:10, and Luke 11:13. That's some combination in it. Luke 11:13. Now, these are going to be passages where you have the term Holy Spirit. Okay? Psalm 51:11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, notice Holy Spirit, no capital letters. Lowercase h, lowercase s. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Isaiah 63:10. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And continuing on verse 11, then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Now, in these two verses, you'll see lowercase h and a capital S. Wow. And incidentally, just as an aside here, in Isaiah 63, you'll find the entire Godhead, all three of them. If you look in verse 8, for he says, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. If you look at verse 16, doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. You have the entire Godhead in that one chapter in Isaiah 63. The three of them mentioned. Okay, now, if we go to Luke 11:13, Luke 11:13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, there you have uppercase H and S. And I'm looking at those and I'm thinking, wow, what are they, when they were doing this, when they're writing this, what are they thinking? Because they're all different. You have the lowercase Holy Spirit. You have it from Isaiah, the lowercase Holy, uppercase Spirit. And here in Luke, both uppercase Holy Spirit. Well, what do I have to say about that? I don't know. Here's three more. And these are Paul. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And chapter 4, verse 30. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 8. Okay. Ephesians 1, 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You have the lowercase H, uppercase S, Holy Spirit. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, he talked about that sealing again, but notice Holy Spirit, lowercase H, uppercase S. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 8, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now, all three of those you see as a small case H, the uppercase S. So you have a lowercase, uppercase. And someone says, well, the term should be Holy Spirit, not Holy Ghost, because you don't find Holy Spirit in King James Bible. Well, you do. We've just looked at them. So they are there. These are verses that we have looked at before. In the book of John, chapter 7, and I'm going to give you a homework assignment in a little bit, too, so you have to come back next week with the answer, because you're going to have to help me with it, because it's a tough one. That man sitting back there probably doesn't know the answer to it either. John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, you know, we've read this verse several times, and the reason I look at it is because it speaks of the Spirit and then speaks of the Holy Ghost. But I think that in verses 38 and 39, the answer is right there. The answer to the difference between the Spirit and the Holy Ghost is right there. In this one, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke 4, 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I think the answer is in that verse too. Just as the same thing as in the passage in Luke. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, Acts 16, verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And again, I think the answer is right there. It's in those verses. The difference between Holy Ghost and the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It's another one. And I think, again, that the answer is right there in the verses. Okay, another good passage in the book of John, chapter 14. John 14, we're going to start with verse 15. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. See, once again, I think this is a passage that's going to help us understand. Because here he is clearly speaking about that third person of the Godhead. I almost said Trinity, and I'm trying to avoid that word, that third person of the Godhead. We know it's him. It's he and him. The pronouns are important here. We know it's a person. And Holy Ghost just seems to be in this passage, this is what he's talking about, that it's the third person of the Godhead. In chapter 15 of John, verse 26, John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So we know who the Comforter is. He told us very plainly in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then down to verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And then in chapter 20 of John, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Verses 22 and 23 just give fits to a lot of people. Because of the way that it says that, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Again, looking at that third person of the Godhead. Now, I do think, and again, these are verses you're going to think about, and next Sunday, I want to unpack all of this to help us understand why did they do that? What's the difference they're making between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit? Is there a difference? And some people say, oh, there's no difference. And that's why you go to the newer Bibles, and as I mentioned, even New King James, and they'll tell you, we're just going to update the language. We're going to update the language, and it's all going to be Holy Spirit. And somebody's messing with the words. Someone's messing with the words. Let me show you this. This is another one. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, look at verse 7. Well, let's start in verse 6. Hebrews 1, 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Now, I want to read to you what it says in NIV in this passage. Who's deciding this stuff? I don't know. Verse 7, it says, in speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. Makes his angels winds. And they'll say, well, that's what the word means. It's breath or wind. Well, you know, mine says, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. It's quoting, and if you look at it in King James, back to Psalm 104, Psalm 104, verse 4, I think. Yes, Psalm 104, verse 4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. In this one, it says he makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. You see how different that reads? And I'm thinking someone has taken upon them, they think, the responsibility to change some of these words. Because they will say, well, you know, the King James, it's hard to understand. We can't use those words. Some of those words are archaic. And it's back to the DG rule. If both words occur in the King James, there's a reason for it. Our example of throughly or thoroughly, there are two verses where the word thoroughly is used. And so as long as that's the case, then I have to keep throughly as it is and thoroughly as it is and not try to change it. Not say, well, you know, they mean essentially the same thing. And again, dictionaries, unfortunately, will not help you in those cases. Because a lot of times you look up these words, and even the good old 1828 dictionary will say, well, that's an archaic word. We don't use that word anymore. This is the word that we use. And they try to correct it. And again, the DG rule says that if both words are used, find out the reason. Why did they use a specific word? Why in 1 Corinthians 13 did they use the word charity? And every other Bible says love. But in the King James Bible, the word love occurs and the word charity occurs. So now what I've got to try to figure out is, okay, why did they do that? Why did they choose that word? You know, they had to have a purpose. And the problem is it requires some thinking and some study. Because sometimes when we read, we just put the old brain in neutral and we can say, well, you know, I read a whole book of the Bible today. Well, what did you learn? Well, you know, some fascinating things. Well, what specifically? Oh, just lots of good things. And we can't articulate anything about, you know, what went in there. We need to slow down a little bit maybe and take a look at those words and try to decide, okay, why that word? All right, now here's your homework assignment. Are you ready? In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's start at verse 15. 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay, here's your homework assignment. That passage in chapter 3, verse 16, says, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? In chapter 6, verse 19, What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Aren't those great verses? Now, I wanted to read the full context because it's the context, not to give it all away, but it's the context that's going to help you, that's going to give you some clues, because I think there is a difference. And obviously, you know, one place it says the Spirit, other place Holy Ghost. So that's what we're going to find out, what that difference is. And so that's your homework for next week. Okay, we're going to unpack this, and you bring your answers as to what you think the difference is. Any questions, comments? Well, there is that.
I have a question, teacher.
Yes, sir.
Philippians chapter 2.
Oh, here we go.
Verse 3 and 4. Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Ooh. That is a good one. Right at the moment, I don't have an answer for it, but give me a week and I'll let you know. Maybe.
Well, gave us homework. I thought it was only fair.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's true.
Because when I read that one when I'm preaching, I always stumble over it.
Yes.
I always want to say others, esteem others.
Well, when I see the word always, I always right. want to say always.
Right. Right.
It's just difficult to say that. But there again, there's a reason for it.
Like some of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit ones, it's two adjoining verses. It was the same guys doing the translation. Like
yes.
A different group.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Right there together. So
yes. That's what makes it fascinating to think about. Anything else? Any other challenges out there? All right. Get your homework done for next week.